Do you believe a person's thinking affects the way he lives? You know, there are many today who would say, well, you can watch pornographic movies, you can watch violence, and this will not affect how you live, that you can just enjoy those things and think about those things, but that it will not affect your living. Is that what the Bible says? You know, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start reading with verse 17. And what the scripture emphasizes here very strongly is that what you think will determine how you live. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the scripture says. And your thoughts are going to guide your actions. And so the scripture emphasizes, yes, it is important what you think. I want to start reading in Ephesians 4. Beginning of verse 17, Paul writes here and he says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk or live as the Gentiles also live, in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as the truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." Right thinking is vital. This is what the scripture says. This section here, chapter 4:17 to 5:14, I've called social relationships, because in the previous section, Paul's been talking about our functioning in the church, amongst Christians in particular. But now he goes to our relationships with people in general. And he begins by saying, listen, your thinking is very, very important. Be sure your thinking is right. If your thinking is right, then your actions are going to flow in the right direction. Notice what he says here about the thinking of the lost, those that aren't Christians. And he warns us, don't live like the unbelievers do. Gentiles, meaning those who are unbelievers. Don't live like they do. Don't allow the thinking of the world to mold you. Christians are called to be different. Christians are called to think differently and to have different standards, to have different goals, to have different attitudes from those who do not know God. And so here he says right at the beginning, don't allow the world to mold your thinking. And I'm afraid this is happening many times to Christians today. They are just completely surrounded by the world's thinking. Some people are constantly watching television, or they're constantly just reading the newspaper, or listening to the radio. Now, there are good things, of course, in these different avenues of media. But we have to say the basic philosophy that will be projected here is not what the Bible is teaching, certainly not anymore. And that it's going to be the world's attitudes. If you're watching a television show, for example, the tendency is to make light of divorce, to make light of sex outside of marriage, to act as if many of these things which the Bible condemns are all right, provided you love one another and don't hurt anyone and this kind of nonsense. So that here he says, listen, as a Christian, if you know and love the Lord, your thinking is going to have to be very different from the world around you. Are you willing to be different? Are you one of these people that just wants to flow with the current, you know? If everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it. If everyone thinks it's all right, well, then I'm going to go along with that. And there's a lot of kind of gutless Christianity, I would call it, today. People who don't stand for anything, who don't stand for righteousness, and who don't stand for the things of God. Now, here Paul is pleading with these Christians. There's a big change. If you've accepted the Lord, and if you know Him and love Him, there ought to be a great change in your way of thinking, in your attitudes, in your standards, and in the kind of life you live. So he says, don't look to the world around you for guidance as to how you should live. Don't live as the unbelievers live. And now he says several things about the way they live and think. He says their thinking is empty. It's proud. It's self-sufficient. Empty. Not dependent upon God. Just trusting in themselves, feeling that they're sufficient to make their own decisions, to know what's right or wrong, and no sense of their own finiteness as a creature and their dependence upon God. So he says, don't have that kind of mindset. He says they're darkened in their understanding. Darkened. They can't really see things as they are. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But here Paul says, as he thinks of the thinking of people around him, he says it's darkened. They don't really see as they should. Dark. You know, you can go to Carlsbad Caverns and go down, down, down into the heart of that tremendous cave that stretches miles and miles and miles. And they used to, at least, reach a point where they would turn all the lights off. And you would be there in the heart of the earth, and it would be absolutely dark. You could see nothing. If you held your finger in front of your face, you couldn't see it. Complete darkness. No light from the stars or the sun or the moon. Absolute darkness. Unable to recognize people around you. Unable to see where you are or where you're going. Darkness. And Paul here says of the world without God, they're in darkness. Darkness. Oh, the spiritual darkness around us. People making decisions, living their lives without really understanding what they're doing or what these actions are going to result in. Darkened in their understanding. He says, you're alienated from the life of God. Now, that's a striking thing, isn't it? Really, he says, cut off from God's life. Oh, you say, I'm alive. I have a good, healthy body. I feel very much alive today. Maybe you can say I was out jogging this morning. And I feel in good shape. I'm very much alive. But he says here that without your coming to know the Lord, until you accept the Lord Jesus and come to know Him and His forgiveness, and receive new life from God, he says, really, you're in a position of death. In fact, in Ephesians 2, didn't he say? Dead in trespasses and sins. And this is the condition of the person who has not come to the Lord Jesus. Dead in trespasses and sins. Marked by death instead of real life. Spiritual death. If you would go to the Vatican Museum, and go into the Sistine Chapel, which is a very beautiful chapel, the ceiling was painted by Michelangelo, and he spent, as I recall, around 4 years on his back painting that beautiful and majestic seen. And he pictures the creation of man. And he pictures man as having been created and lying there without life. And then he pictures God reaching over with his finger to touch man and to give him life. And you know, man needs the touch of God in order to have spiritual life. You must have that touch of God himself if you're going to have spiritual life. Have you ever known that? Have you ever been in a place where you came to realize that you are lost and that you are a sinner and that you are far from God, you're cut off from God's life, and where you just cried out to him as a sinner and said, Lord Jesus, save me. I believe you died on the cross for me. And have you ever known the touch of God so that instead of being cut off from the life of God, you now know his life? You're alive in the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have life. But the picture here he gives of the unbeliever is he's cut off from the life of God. Now, he says that there's ignorance, and maybe you can notice here the way there's a progression. There's ignorance, he says, there's hardening, and there's immorality. Ignorance that is in them. Now, the tragic thing is, this is a self-chosen ignorance. People turn away from the truth that's around them. In Romans 1, he says, listen, you go out and you look. Look at the sunrise. Look at the creation of God around you. Look at the beauty of the sunset. Watch the stars as they come out in all their glory. Look at the vast number of them. Consider the distances that the light you're seeing from some of those stars left years and years before from that star and is just now reaching Earth. Consider all of this. And you must realize there's a God, and you need to be right with him. But, Paul says in Romans 1, most people suppress that knowledge. They turn away from it. And so this is what he says here. He speaks of the ignorance. He speaks of the hardening of their heart. The heart becomes harder and harder against God. The heart says, I want to do what I want to do. I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in the Bible. I've seen people dying who said, when I came to visit them, don't talk to me about God. If that's a Bible you have in your hand, I don't want to see it.